Decaffeination 432. 432nd time I've talked to you about this the wonderful little show that we got going for you. 432nd little time that this wonderful music is played in the background. So hopefully, if you're looking for this show, you found out where it is by now. It's lovingly nestled over at www.caffination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that out all by your lonesome. We are kind of a fun little interesting tech show. Half of the show is about technology, half the show is about coffee, hence caffeination. I can't separate the two things in my life, so I couldn't find a way to actually separate them in a podcast. So hopefully you enjoy that. We have a really kind of fun, cool episode lined up for you today. It's feels a little weird to be recording this because there's some stuff that's not done, some stuff that is, and I'm kind of in a little bit of a limbo place myself right now. I didn't expect, when I went to work today, I didn't expect this to be my last day of work for the week, but circumstances beyond my control, the office is being renovated, so I have the next 2 days off, so it's a little bit weird to, you know, try and record late at night like this and realize that, hey, I'm not going to be tired tomorrow. I can sleep as long as my son lets me, which means I'm probably going to be tired, but that's all right. So hopefully you've had a wonderful week. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All of the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. And everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. There's a couple other little things in association with Tech Podcasts that are currently rocking out this week. Everybody over at Tech Podcasts has the opportunity every once in a while to do something called Tech Podcast Weekly. It's a little bit of an introduction to their show. It's a couple little quick tidbits, and then you're out on your way. It's usually around 20 minutes long. I'm the host of this previous week's edition of Tech Podcast Weekly, so if you head on over to blog.techpodcasts.com, then you can find that wonderful thing. I'm the host of episode 56, and everybody else has hosted, or a lot of other people have hosted different episodes throughout the years that we've been doing this. I think we're into the, like 8 or 9 months now of solid good content coming out there. So it's a fantastic place and way to get acclimated with the different shows that are on the network. So you can head on over there and check that out. And then this episode, provided everything goes correct with the video sources, is actually going to be posted in its entirety as much and as quickly as I can over at techpodcasts.tv. Now, we've had a couple little kerfuffles recently where it hasn't gone through as easily as it should have, but we're going to try and make it work, and if we don't have a full live edition that we're going to actually put out over techpodcasts.tv, I might either do clips out of it or I might redo some of the content and just put it out as kind of like a digest version of the actual audio Caffeination Podcast. So hopefully this new direction is actually going to help us gain a little bit of traction, which is why this episode's actually called Caffeination Traction. We've been kind of spinning our wheels with a couple things this past weekend. Just completely had nothing left to give after the watching the Lost finale, staying up late and trying to watch Jimmy Kimmel because there were supposed to be alternate endings in the end, except that was my problem. I actually expected Jimmy Kimmel to have serious content in his show, and that doesn't really happen. So, whatever. The best part about the social media and the best part about doing a lot of the stuff on the internet is that, you know, the news spreads like lightning. So there's been a lot of stuff that's going on since our last show, so we're going to try and hash it out here and make sure you get the best bang for your buck. The Caffeination is proudly sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is a wonderful product. Companies of all sizes in this horrible economy right now are trying to find new ways to cut costs, and every dollar saved is helps your bottom line in the end. It really kind of all comes back around full circle, and you really, you know, everything you do, it comes back on you. So that's why I personally recommend a web conferencing solution for your business. It helps improve overall business communications and efficiencies. It gets everybody on the same page no matter where their books are currently sitting. It's working great on a global network, on a local network. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's the easiest and most affordable way to get everybody on the same page. GoToMeeting is brought to you by Citrix. It reduces your time on the road presenting, training, or demonstrating anything, or even just collaborating and working on projects. You can improve conference calls, and you can collaborate everything in real time. It's the best way out there to increase your productivity and cut costs. So I've used GoToMeeting, and it's unbelievable at really the seamless seamless transition between the different presenters. So everything that's on your desktop shows up on everybody else's screen. It's really simple to use. So I highly suggest you try it out. And just for those purposes, my listeners can actually try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. The Caffeination is also involved in another awesome contest coming up, so you're going to have to stay tuned to the podcast. What we're doing as of the 31st of May, we're going to start talking about the codes from the podcast Madness Contest over at Summer of Podcasts, The podcastmadness.com is once again hosting the Summer of Podcast Contest, where a whole bunch of different podcasts, some of those you know, some of those you don't, are all getting together. Everybody's donating prizes, and we're all trying to push out content through one unbelievable effort by Jeffrey Powers to get this all set up. So when you're looking for codes and all that other stuff, you have to check into different areas. You're going to hear them in the audio portion of my show, usually. And if you're following me on Twitter at twitter.com/caffeination, you might see some of the ones that are designed to be put out there. If you're getting the emails, you might get other ones, and the show notes might get other ones. But every different place you follow us is going to be a different chance to win over the course of this podcast. It's going to be huge. If you thought last year's contest overall was pretty cool and we gave out a lot of nifty prizes, this one is going to literally blow it out of the water. It's going to be unbelievable. All right. So, all right. All that fun and wonderful stuff is headed out the window there, so we can get down to the meat and the potatoes of actually giving you what I hope is going to be a fantastic podcast. There's a lot of news that happened this past weekend, and the first of which, as we dive right in into the Geek Cruft section here, is that Pac-Man turned 30. On, I think it was May 21st, which happened to be my 5-year anniversary, Pac-Man turned 30. But Google didn't forget about it, unlike a certain podcast that you like listening to. They didn't let it go anywhere or anything like that. You can head on over to google.com/Pac-Man and see their doodle. Their doodle for the day was actually a way of changing the entire Google logo to be a version of Pac-Man that's actually playable. There's an insane amount of physics that go along with it. There's an insane amount of craziness and cool different little things that happened. And the best part about it is that not only was it a complete version of Pac-Man, it was actually all 255 complete levels, but it had a 256th level that was incomplete, the same as the original Pac-Man game. We've talked about it a couple of different times on the podcast, but you can actually play it. And if you're actually following along, you can see all you have to do is hit the insert coin thing, and it starts right up. And I did not see, but they actually have Miss Pac-Man on this now for some reason. That is absolutely new. For some reason, this is a... for some reason, that one's not working. All right. it's probably because I have like 50 different things running on the actual podcast rig, and that's not something you should really do. It's wonderful. I love Pac-Man. I've found ways to incorporate it into different aspects of my life, and I just, for some reason, that resonated with so many different people. It became unbelievably popular, and it was 30 years ago as of then. So there's a couple different things that have happened since then. People have actually put out a bunch of different little fun gadgets and gadgets and all other kinds of cool things, and there's actually a company out there that makes decals specifically for Apple laptops. It's because Apple has the glowing apple on the back of it that it makes it kind of a fertile ground, I guess you could say, for some of the more interesting stuff that's out there. And the company's called Apple Jam, and they have a decal that actually turns your MacBook Pro, whatever it is, doesn't actually matter what kind of apple it is, as long as it has the glowing apple, it'll work. You stick the appliques on the back, and it has three little, Blinky, Inky, and Clyde. So it does not have... I can't remember the other one. That's horrible. All right, but it has that. It has Pac-Man, some power pellets. It has the lives and the fruit. I don't think you're a really good player if the only fruit you have after playing around on your laptop for all that time is the cherry. But hey, you know what? you know, live and let live. So I thought that was pretty cool. That link's from over at geekygadgets.com. Next little cool thing that we have for you is an awesome story, again, from Geeky Gadgets. There's a neat little device that's coming to market called Wii 2 HDMI. And the idea behind it is that you take the existing port on the back of your Nintendo Wii, you plug this dongle into it, and it actually turns the back end of that dongle into a straight-up HDMI connector. Now, one of the biggest complaints about the Wii when it first came out, and people don't care now, is that it wasn't true high def. It was 480i if you had the right cables. I actually don't have the correct high-def cables for having the Wii on our nice big TV. I just realized this when I went in there, and I was like, man, every game that we're playing has kind of like a letterbox thing, even though I had it set to 16:9. And it was like, it's kind of like cropped off at the side, and there's two big, thick bars. So I was like, there has to be a way to fix this. So going through it, I found out that since I don't have the proper cables, I can't actually get the HD, the HD 480i as opposed to 480p, so that's where we are right now. Now, this decal or this thing actually is not that bad. It's only $39.95, and you can get a separate HDMI cable, and that's roughly $8, depending on how long you want it. It operates in NTSC 480i, 480p, and PAL 576i. Since I don't have access to a PAL TV or anything like that, I don't really have the option to test in that one out. But if I do end up getting it, I promise you I will give it a nice little rundown. So that one's pretty cool. All right, if you head on over to Gizmodo, they have an awesome little article. I just had to pass along because I thought it was funny. It says, sharks can become invisible, with a couple little MFs in the middle of it. But the idea behind this is that there was actually a scientific report that came out that said there's a certain type of sharks. It's called it has the nickname of the Phantom Hunter of the Fjords. So anything automatically, anything incorporating the name Fjord into your name makes you a pretty cool beast. But the idea behind this is that this shark is bioluminescent to a certain extent and is actually capable of controlling the areas of bioluminescence on its body so that when it's hunting prey, it can make the bottom of its body actually glow so that if the prey is under it and it looks up, it mimics the ocean surface. So There's an interesting little debate in some of the comments that are over there, and as most Gizmodo comment wars are, it's a little bit profane, just like a lot of the stuff that's over there. But one of the things is a lot of different animals and a lot of different things have the kind of two-tone color setup. You know, they have the darker colors on the top so that anything looking down on them, it's a form of natural camouflage, and they're lighter colors on the bottom so that when you look up, they resemble whatever's above things. So it's either it's the sky, it's the the top of the or the bottom of the ocean. You know, it's no matter what it is, it's when you look at it, it sort of mimics that color. This, however, is the first shark to actually use bioluminescence to actually figure a way of doing that out to more readily replicate the appearance of that. So I think it's pretty cool, so I just wanted to pass it along. I know I'm probably explaining it incredibly horribly. Next little links from over at technobob.com. This one is just one of those massive beasts of a machine that I had to pass along because I thought it was pretty cool. The ship that they have here is actually a battleship, a full-on battleship. It's a warship called the Chenoweth, and it is it's a 1,200-ton vessel that actually split into two during the course of its service to the country. And the crazy thing about it is that there is actually a crane in existence that can lift battleships straight up out of the water. Now, if you're following along with the group over at the live stream or on the TV show, then you're going to be able to actually see this. This thing is massive. And the hardest part about actually looking at this is realizing that the thing that it's picking up is a battleship. It's not a small item. So that means by scale, the actual crane that's used, which appears to be a floating crane or some kind of docked crane, so the crane that is being used to actually lift the battleship has to be roughly the same size of a skyscraper to actually work. I have no clue who came up with this. It's a feat of engineering unlike anything I've ever seen. and it literally lifted a battleship directly out of the water. Could you imagine the person who's responsible for operating that? I'm pretty sure you need some kind of crazy license for that. So, all right, now the next little thing we got up there for you is an interesting use for the iPad. It's one of the first ones I've seen so far. I mean, there's a lot of interesting games and things like that. We have one really cool use of the iPad and one really goofy use of the iPad we're going to be talking about today. There's a new SNES emulator for the iPhone and the iPad that actually turns your iPad into the screen and the iPhone into a controller. So theoretically, you could have two iPhones as controllers. It says up to four controllers can be connected, the same with SNES. And you can play whatever games are available in the emulator. So I thought this was pretty cool. The only thing is, when you're actually trying to do it, then you need to actually have a jailbroken iPad as well as a jailbroken iPhone or iPod Touch to use as a controller. This is the kind of thing that I could really imagine somebody getting behind, because this really, it's a way for Apple to kind of tie a bunch of different products in together, and that's something that they have a very real interest in. So I'm kind of surprised that you have to jailbreak it to make it work to begin with. So as much as I like this, you can't really tell people, oh yeah, well, in order to use this, you have to go void your warranty. So it's pretty cool. Just it's unfortunately not something we can recommend for the faint of heart. All right, the next, or you could just use a laptop. The next thing we have is straight out of a fantasy game, specifically out of Magic the Gathering. There's a crazy little thing called the Greenworks Moving Hedge. Now, the idea behind this is that it's a 4-foot-tall custom sculpture that actually can be moved around wherever you are, and it's a vertical garden. So if you want to have herbs and spices and all other kinds of crazy stuff in there, go ahead. I'm pretty sure this would look awesome with some strawberries on it or something like that. Or you could just have it for foliage in general. One of the common misstated scientific facts is that plants provide oxygen. Yes, this is correct in a very specific way in which it happens. Plants provide oxygen through photosynthesis. However, at night, plants also produce carbon dioxide, similar to what we do. While it's not a one-to-one thing, there is going to end up being more oxygen in the air afterwards as opposed to a carbon dioxide. It's not an end-all, be-all solution for everything. However, I would love to have some kind of I'd love to have the room for a 4-foot-tall wall of greenery. And I think, the kind of vertical gardening thing could actually catch on, specifically in the, in office spaces and things like that. This just looks like a really cool idea. All right, now the next little thing we have up here is, you should probably take your baby to a rave. Well, that's the only thing I can really imagine for this. It's an LED pacifier. The idea, Nooks and pacifiers have a rough past that a lot of people complain about anyway. Some people think that when kids become dependent on them, it's bad, and everything in moderation. I remember when my son was young, there were some nights that the only thing that would calm him down was the pacifier, and then you just move on from that. And everybody has their horror stories about the things they've heard of kids having pacifiers until they're like 6 or 7, up until other people who have like deformed teeth. And there's crazy people on every side of every argument in parenting, and I think we all need to kind of understand this and just move on. The only thing that I'm calling this a little bit of shenanigans on it is that the LEDs are all on the actual front of the pacifier, so the baby isn't going to be entertained by the LEDs. If anything, it's just going to make parents laugh because their kid's mouth is blinking. All right, next little thing we got up for you here is a printed circuit board business card. This is awesome. I love cutting up circuit boards. I love kind of messing around with that, with the idea that some of the used PCBs can make really beautiful art. Now, the idea behind this is that there's actually a breakaway section of it, and that the middle tab on it actually inserts into a computer. It is a USB card as well. It holds 24 kilobits of memory, so it should be enough for a resume and cover letter, they're saying. So these things are relatively expensive. So they cost about €5 a piece. So around, $8 to $10 a piece, you're going to look for one of these. So rather than using them like a traditional business card, I would probably say that these are going to be used more for like career fairs or places just where you're trying to get your resume out there. You're trying to get as much exposure as possible. So if you have a very select group of people you're going to do this to, your resume is going to get read. Your business card is going to, find a place of honor in this person's wallet, because it stands out from the crowd. And more often than not, you know, just standing out, just the design alone standing out, is enough to get you a second look. But this is actually a functional design. So it's pretty nifty. All right, next little thing we got up for you. Sony has finished developing a rollable OTFT-driven OLED display. What does that mean for the common people? Basically, this is a rollable screen, so that you actually have a tiny little scroll and you roll it out, and it can actually work on like that. Has a contrast ratio of under 1,000 to 1, so it's not really that bad overall. It's not perfect yet, but hey, it's a screen that you can actually roll up and put in your pocket. I think this has the possibility of actually bringing back the scroll interface for communication. I mean, how cool would that be? So, like, you know, you just have your computer sitting there, there's a tiny little light blinking, and then all of a sudden you pull a tiny little scroll out of the computer to figure out what's going on, then you let it go. You know, that'd be a great little thing for system diagnostics. But could you imagine tearing a screen in half? That probably wouldn't go over well. All right, moving right along, kind of rushing through here. There's a lot of things out there for the Nintendo Wii, a lot of different accessories, and it's hard to explain to people that if you have a pretty good imagination, you can imagine that your Wiimote is actually a tennis racket. I'm not sure how many people out there had to actually go out and buy the tennis racket attachment to actually help them understand how the Wiimote pretended to be a tennis racket. There's a certain subset of people who own the Nintendo Wii who swear by the fact that they need the tennis racket accessory to actually play Mario Tennis or whatever else they're trying to play, because it's not a tennis racket unless you're plugging it into one. So this kind of scares me, the idea up there. There's now another game coming out called Bird's Eye Bullseye, and the idea is that you're supposed to actually use your wings, extend your hands out, and maneuver your character down so that it lands on different obstacles. You can bounce off trampolines, and there's all other kinds of things. Well, they're actually selling, or are going to be selling, a new set of actual nylon wings for your Bird's Eye Bullseye pleasure. So if that's your thing, enjoy it. It's kind of ridiculous, if you ask me. All right, moving right along, we have a couple little stories left, and then we're going to head you on into the caffeination, or the food and caffeinated bits section. The first thing that we have up here is, so this is how the world's going to end, is it? A British scientist infects himself with a computer virus. Infect his wetware per se. What it actually did was he implanted himself with a smart RFID chip over a year ago, and he actually infected the programming inside of it. He infected it with a low-grade virus to kind of illustrate the dangers of wearable and small computers, and incorporating computers into other things. I mean, there's already been stories of people attempting to hack pacemakers and hack controllers and small PID controllers that actually do all other kinds of things. But this is the first instance that anyone has ever actually implanted a virus on a device that was inside of somebody. So that's just crazy, if you ask me. All right, up next, apparently Bulgaria has the world's unluckiest phone number. It's actually been banned. The phone number is 0888-888-888. So basically zero and then all eights afterward, has actually killed three people. If you ask, listen to local lore, there's three people that have ever had this phone number. The first person died of cancer. It was rumored that he was actually poisoned by radiation by a business competitor. You know, they don't fool around over in Europe. You know, if you do anything wrong, somebody's poisoning you with radiation. The second victim was a reputed mob boss who was shot to death, and the third was a coke dealer gunned down. So, you know what? I think it's about time to call it a day and say, hey, we're just not going to give that number out to anybody. There's one company over there that's already switched over, and they say, you know what? Mobitel is never going to ban that phone number again. So I thought it was pretty funny and wanted to pass it along. Next little bit of interesting news that we got out there for you is actually from a wonderful website called Gizmodo that we've already talked about today. However, this one says, paper jams are playable guitars made from paper. This is pretty ridiculous. This is kind of like the all new low, whereas before people who played real instruments were lamenting the fact that Guitar Hero actually made it that much easier to pretend to play a guitar without giving you the impetus to actually try and play one on your own. It actually kind of spurred me the other direction. It's like Guitar Hero is awesome and everything, but it kind of really limited me to a certain point where it's like kind of galvanized me to say, you know, I do need to try and learn how to play a guitar outside of this. And, you know, for my last birthday, I actually went out and bought a guitar. So having these paper guitars is kind of ridiculous. First of all, they all come with, you know, preloaded songs that you can play by strumming along with it, and there's actually a couple different songs on each one: Two Princes, End of the World, Born to Be Wild, Mississippi Queen, Smoke on the Water, You Really Got Me, Blitzkrieg Bop, Godzilla, Hey There Delilah, All Star, Helicopter, and the last couple are Woman, Rockstar, and Take It to the Limit. So they don't have strings, they do have connectors going all the way up and down so they can tell where your hand is to a certain extent, which is kind of crazy, but there's also a way that, you know, the faster you strum, the faster the song plays. The slower you strum, if you want to strum in time to rhythm, then it actually plays the song along with you. And then there's a quote-unquote freestyle one on each one of them. So I thought that was pretty interesting. They're only going to be $35 each. That's not that bad. But you know what? If your kid really wants to learn how to play the guitar or really thinks that's really cool, you know, it might just be time to go to a used instrument store and try and find something there. I thought it was pretty ridiculous myself. All right, that about wraps it up for the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. Just a quick reminder in case you hadn't remembered. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything else like that, you can fire it off to caffeination@gmail.com. And pretty much all there is about that. So the first bit of news that we got up for you in the food and caffeinated bits is actually a section on cupping. Now, cupping is a way that you can go about producing consistent flavors in the different pieces of coffee that you'd like to taste test. So it involves basically, you know, having coffee pre-ground and you drop it into, you know, the preheated water. So it's, you know, you boil all the water, you let it cool down just a little bit, you pour it into each one of the cups, you put the exact same amount of coffee in each one, you let it, you know, kind of swirl around for a little bit, you let it steep, and then rather than trying to drink the coffee like you were making a mug of it, the idea behind it is you actually use a spoon and you depress and you kind of skim the coffee off the top, then you slurp it. It's a very specific way that you're going to go about actually tasting coffee. So I wanted to link directly to a set of instructions on how to do it. So there's a wonderful article over at ineedcoffee.com that you can actually check up for on that. Next little article that we have is actually the 20 worst drinks in America 2010. Now, I hate top 10, top 20 articles, but it's kind of... this one has a different little twist to it. The idea behind it is that rather than just tell you how many calories all of these different beverages are, like the Snapple antioxidant water, they actually give you an equivalent in a junk food that's supposed to make you kind of start. So the first one they give you is the Snapple agave melon antioxidant water. I'm sorry, agave, unless it's in tequila, has no place in any beverage. So it's the equivalent of two Good Humor chocolate eclair bars. So it's 150 calories and 33 grams of sugar. That's pretty insane. The next one they actually have up for you here is a Sobe green tea. One full bottle is actually the same as four slices of cherry pie. So that's pretty crazy. They do have the drink this in Ted instead, not in Ted, on a couple of them. I personally love the Rockstar energy drink. I actually hate the drink itself, but it's the equivalent of... half a dozen donuts. So it's pretty whole hog on some of these things. So if you have a couple minutes, I'd highly suggest you head on over there. Basically, what they're trying to say is the worst thing in the world for you to do is drink your calories, because there's really nothing you're getting out of it. So it's hopefully a way that kind of breaks you away from that. It's one of the reasons that I actually focus on drinking black coffee. Not only the fact that if you're drinking good coffee, you probably need a lot less sugar and milk in there, but also the fact that once you actually start drinking coffee black, you start realizing how many other calories and everything that you're adding in. So I thought it was pretty interesting and wanted to share that along with the group. Next little thing we have up for you here, I'm actually a little bit irritated at this. If you buy an app to time your eggs, you're a tool. I'm not even going to tell you this. I'm not even going to have to go on over this. I think it's ridiculous that, you know, there's an app for that culture has extended into the absolute inane. But apparently there's an app out for the iPad and the iPhone called the Egg Boiler iPad app. And it shows you a whole kitchen. It says you can select, you know, medium, soft, hard, whatever else it is. You pick the temperature of the egg, and then you click put it in the pot, and then it's supposed to help you, time how long your eggs have to be in there. That doesn't take a couple of things into account, the same way, you know, actually using a clock, God forbid a watch, or even just a timer on a normal cell phone if you really had to. It just doesn't take any of those into account. It's just kind of ridiculous. It's only a dollar. You know what? Send your dollar to me. I can come up with ridiculous ideas all day long. Hey, or if your stove has the time on it, as Norbert says, it's just ridiculous. You know what? There's so many other good uses for the iPad and the iPhone out there that I think junking up the store with these kind of ridiculous, goofy little apps is stupid. So what I would suggest instead is actually a cool little gadget that I got a while ago. It's called the Egg Perfect Egg Timer. I love this thing. You basically just drop this solid plexiglass egg into the pot, and it actually cooks along with your eggs. So no matter how many eggs are in the pot, it doesn't cook you need to time differently if you're boiling a whole bunch of eggs, or if you're working with a whole bunch of different stuff, or if the eggs made the water a little bit colder. So this can takes all that into account. It's only about $5 normally. They have it here for $4 or £4.99 or whatever the decimal equation there is. You buy it for $5, you can use it forever, and it literally has the hard, medium, and soft right on there, and it's pretty cool. This is so much easier to use, and you don't need to have your cell phone out to actually do it. So, and just passing that along because I thought that was pretty cool. The next little thing, no, you can't break it, Norbert. Trust me, I've tried. My son has thrown this thing across the room. And you can't, even if you put it in a pot of water and you let it boil for an obscenely long amount of time, it still doesn't break, so... All right, next little thing that we have up for you here is actually a great little mug that I had to share with the group. Unfortunately, if you're a word nerd, this isn't going to go over too well for you. It's a lovely little red mug from over at nerdapproved.com. It has a nice little rainbow on it, little hearts, and it says, I hate myself and I want to die. So if you have this mug, this is pretty much kind of a serial killer warning flag. So... I just thought it was pretty funny and had to share it along with everybody. The ridiculous lengths that people go to actually get a laugh or elicit a laugh out of some of those is pretty funny. Next little thing that we got up for you here is apparently there's a new beverage out there called Oatmeal Coffee and Bacon Stout, Breakfast in a Bottle. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had breakfast stout. I like breakfast stout. Breakfast stout is usually kind of an oatmeal and coffee beer or something along those lines. It's usually a cream stout. It's usually very thick, very heavy, and absolutely unbelievably awesome. I love breakfast stouts, specifically love coffee and cream stouts, not necessarily digging the oatmeal. But there's actually a new, there's a new brew out there, so it's kind of just crazy. I don't entirely know what to do with it, so... I'm just saying that it's out there. They don't even have a link for where this thing's being brewed, but I think that this is just a homebrew recipe, hopefully. But the Photoshop that goes along with it is well worth the gander. It's actually a bunch of pints of what appear to be Guinness, a little bit of coffee coming out the side, and then somebody just Photoshopped a little piece of bacon sticking right out the top. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know how many people out there have and enjoy beer like that, but it's... kind of doesn't really go with beer. I don't know. I mean, I maybe I'm just not onto the whole bacon phase as much as so many other people are, but you know, bacon beer just doesn't really do it for me. However, this does. Despite the fact that it's all a little on the disgusting line, I thought this was pretty cool. Again, over from nerdapproved.com, zombie jerky is rotten to perfection. Basically, they're selling a blue-tinted dried meat as dried zombie flesh. So if you're a little squeamish, that's probably not for you. But if you're a little bit geeky, then it's notoriously awesome. So I thought that was pretty fun. So it's only $4.50 per pack. Unfortunately, unfortunately, it's only available in Japan right now, so you gotta wait to get your zombie flesh, or just kill one and leave it sit there. Alright, next little, we have two little things, and then we'll send you out on your way. The first little thing we have is a magnetic suspension device. Now, if you are the kind of person who likes to put beverages on display, then you might think this is pretty cool. The idea here is that you actually take a magnet, affix it to whatever can or beverage that you'd like to hold, then you plug a ring into a an outlet, and it actually, through reverse polarity, levitates the object up halfway through the ring. I thought that was pretty interesting and pretty cool. It's just not one of those things that you could really... It's not a useful gadget to store beverages that are going to have a high turnover rate, because you need one gadget per beverage. So I also don't really think that it would work too well with wine. All right, and the last little thing that we have for you here, unlike the last episode where we had a pretty cool Star Wars pancake maker, I'd like to welcome you to the dark side. We do have cookies. Apparently, there's a selection of Star Wars cookie cutters out that are completely different than the Star Wars pancake molds that were out there. This is Yoda, Darth, Boba Fett, and a generic stormtrooper. So if you are of the artistic type, you'd like to make some, and then you'd like to pipe some fun designs on it, then you can have them. They're being sold over at Williams and Sonoma, of all places. When you're looking at something like that, you're thinking, that's probably a Think Geek product, but nope, Williams and Sonoma, the bastion of all that is good culinary taste. So, all right, that about wraps it up here for today's episode. Thank you ever so much for sticking around. It's been kind of fun and kind of cool to kind of get all the little ducks in a row here. So thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.